President, would you indulge me one quick comment? It's been pointed out to me that in my presentation I stated that the coalition was opposed to housing. And I want to clarify that. We are not opposed to housing per se, consistent with AR1. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clarified for the record. Sure. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
Are you saying we should divide this piece of land up and put housing on it?
That's not what he said.
No, he didn't say that. I'm Kenny Hopkins. I live at 16039 Coastal Highway. There, I'm here. Yeah, I'm with my wife and Suzette and daughter, Natalie. I am the son of a third-generation farmer. I have grown up learning about the land and how to make it grow. I have been raised to appreciate it. I have spent many hours in a milk house with my father and endless hot summer days in a field baling hay. I learned at an early age that the ground is only as useful as we allow it to be. The more we allow it to grow, the more it gives back to us. Sussex County has always been known as a farming community, and it's important that we continue to educate the people about the importance of farming. But the more we preserve it, we need to save. But more importantly, we must preserve it. We need to save the land in order to allow our children to see how their food grows and to prosper through Mother Nature. The Overbrook Town Center will have a huge economical impact on the farmers. The farmers will lose the land to harvest, and they will not be able to handle the traffic caused by the town center to harvest my property and the properties next to mine. My livelihood will be in return will also be affected. Along with the financial burden this will cause our farmers, it will jeopardize the safety of our farmers. The gentleman who works for J.D. Townsend and business under Lingo Townsend that harvests the lima beans and peas have stated ensure his safety on the roads, he must move his farm equipment early in the morning or late at night each year to be able to avoid continuing the increase of traffic. A farmer's life is jeopardized every day because the people are impatient and the roads cannot handle the traffic. With preserving the farmland, you will also be preserving the wildlife. Where the Overbrook Town Center wants to be built is in the middle of a prosperous wildlife habitat. The Great Marsh is located closely behind where the town center wants to be built. With the runoff alone, this is a great natural habitat will be compromised. With massive development or a mall that is built, the wildlife vacates the area. Their once natural habitat becomes invaded by strip malls, parking lots, and trash that will accumulate the surrounding areas. The Delaware State Police in their 2016 annual traffic statistics report that there was 1,668 wildlife-related crashes in Delaware. 567 of those crashes were in Sussex County alone. The state is trying to get control of the increasing animal-related crash, especially speaking of the deer. But with the increase of development and commercial buildings, the area's wildlife are being forced out of its natural habitat and onto the roads. Because of this, they are putting our lives in danger as their own. My property is located behind where the town center wants to be built. As my attorney has stated, I have a deed of easement to my farm that states I do not have to share the easement. But I have been told to inform that if the town center was built, in order to get to my house, I will have to go behind the mall and share my driveway with the tractor and trailers and the delivery trucks with the mall. That will become a big problem. With farm equipment, if you're bringing there in a farm, and I'm supposed to come in the center of the entrance of the mall. If a tractor breaks down or a combine breaks down, it's going to stop the entrance of the mall and you're going to have a traffic backup with the 2,000 cars that's coming in. They're all going to be backing up out on the highway. When you have a farm, you should be able to hunt anywhere on the property as long as it is 100 yards from your structure. With the new construction of the Overbrook Town Center, my life will be changed forever. I will be given up the opportunity to hunt the whole front of my property and more. It is a state law enforced by the Delaware Fish and Wildlife that you may not hunt within 100 yards of an occupied structure or drop shot on building for people with it. With the building of the Overbrook Town Center, it is interfering with private lives and not only myself, but all the surrounding farms, including John David Benson and Tom Robinson. My home was built in 1860, and both my wife and I have worked very hard to remodel and preserve its history. This has been our first home together, and this is where we have raised our daughter, Natalie. My daughter has been able to grow up in a home where farming, wildlife, and appreciation for the earth has always been important. She was able to play in the yard and not have to worry about oncoming traffic or strangers. Natalie could play with our dogs in the field or take them back to the ponds to swim. She was able to be a child. Both my wife and I would like to pass this family farm down to her through the generations. We want to teach her kids about the land and the wildlife living on it. But I am concerned that if this town center were to be built, we are not able to do that. I'm concerned that the family farm will be lost, just like the land in front of it. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins, I have a question.
Yes.
Back to right away.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Somebody explain to me what, you have a deeded easement.
Yes.
But I assume, I see them draw where they're going to take the, you have an easement, but it hasn't got to be in that exact spot it is today.
Right. They were promoting it to come.
They have to give you easement back to your land, but not necessarily just any one particular spot.
Right. Okay. But I was going to have to go share the entrance to the mall to go over the overpass, go into the shopping center, around this roundabout, go to the right, to the south, and follow the whole way back of all the stores all the way around. And then I was going to have to share it with all the tractor and trailers and delivery trucks going to the
dumpsters and trash
dumpsters
trucks
and trash and that, you know, and then bringing farm equipment. You know, the farm equipment now is a lot larger. Oh, when yeah. I met with Mr. DiVitano back here 2 or 3 years ago, the farmer that farm, he has two big international combines that are got 35-foot corn heads, combine heads on. There you go. When you start moving this big equipment into a shopping center, you're going to stop traffic, and it's going to back it up onto the highway more. So that there, you know, it's really going to be a big inconvenience for farmland with that right away.
With that comment, follow up, I'm curious because, I mean, it is currently zoned, as we both know, AR1, and by right, they can build 228 homes,
yes,
in theory. And with that being said, I assume that you would probably need to go around the edges as what, no matter what's, if this owner ever does anything, and by right he can build 228 homes, you would still need to do something different than what you are doing today.
Yes.
Okay.
So you know, work on your easement. How wide easement do you really need? 60 feet?
To get a piece of farmland, you should have at least 30 feet.
Yeah,
you know, and right now, you know, when the farmer is using that road to coming in and out of there, he really doesn't take his farm equipment down there. He's going on to the north side or the left side of Mr. Chappell's property to get back there, because the same farmer that farms Mr. Chappell's farms my ground. So he's using the side of his, you know, his field to get into my field.
So maybe you better try and work a deal out with him, see if you can get some wider easements.
Yes.
Especially if they're not to build those houses. Especially if it comes to building houses.
Right.
Hey, you want to get ahead of them.
There's a thing I want to submit, you know, for the, by the easement. And
sure.
That
sure. Okay. You better bring more, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny.
Can you comment on this question?
Yeah, this farm, this shot was taken from in front of my house looking towards Route 1. This was a rain, it was a couple years ago. There was 1.5-2-inch rain, and that shows how much runoff in a farm field that was coming towards my farm. There, if you pave that over into a shopping center where it's blacktop, you know, a lot of, you know, rain there soaked into the farmland. But here, you know, that's what runoff. But if you've got it blacktop or where it can't soak into the ground, you're going to have three times that going to the Great Marsh. And then you got all that, you know, the hydrocarbons and everything from the antifreeze from vehicles is all going to the natural habitat in the Delaware Bay.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Looks like
Okay, did you have, Mr. Witzel, did you have any other witnesses with your group?
Wait a minute, somebody's coming.
Come on down. Sign in, so we know who you are.
I'm John Vinson. I own the farm to the north. Thank you for letting me speak to you. A lot's transpired in a year. I thought this had been resolved, and now it's back again. And I can understand, I don't understand how y'all know so much, because all these regulations that Mr. Fuqua went through, and this gentleman, and this program and that program, is mind-boggling to keep up with all these things. What I have to present is more hands-on evidence, more things you can see that are real, that you can go out and touch. You just saw a picture from Kenny Hopkins' farm looking west. When I testified in front of you before, we talked about how much water would run off of a 90-acre development that had 90 acres of impervious surface. And I think I asked, does anybody have an idea how much water that was? Well, it was 9 million gallons, 740-some thousand, give or take a couple hundred on the other side. And that's a lot of water. That was a 4-inch rain, and that was back in 2016 that we had, I think the University of Delaware Weather Station said we had 49.4 inches of rain. Well, last year was a better year. We had almost 80 inches. Didn't have to run the irrigation systems much. It was great. So as I understand from Mr. Fuqua that they're now going to take and reduce the size of the impervious surface, the commercial building areas, quite a bit, more than half, correct? It sounded like that. So just if we reduce that impervious surface by half, but yet our rainfall almost doubles, the runoff is virtually the same. And that picture really evidenced how much water can come through. In keeping with that, I noticed there was a Cape Gazette article that was published. And the one thing that earlier there was a picture that showed the development as it was proposed. Do y'all notice anything in this picture that is different than what the proposed development showed? Just quickly looking at it. This woods is gone. That woods is gone. That's just one more buffer, and the hedgerow that borders myself and the development, that's all gone. If you want, I can,
Where was that? Where was that woods that's gone now? Right there?
Yes, that woods right there is now gone. This hedgerow is now gone. And between my chicken house number 4, that's probably not even 300 feet. Now, the other day I got my license from the state of Delaware from a shooting preserve. I've had it intact since the 90s. People come out there, they train their dogs. They got a place they can train dogs. You can release birds. You can raise some ducks or whatever and let them work the ponds. You can see a couple of the ponds on the back end of my farm that I had conservation dig, just so people could enjoy that. Plus, it brings in some income, because you can't really guarantee how well a farm income is going to work. Just like the other day, Donald Trump said, well, we're going to hit these Chinese folks with some tariffs. So he hit them and the price of soybeans went down. Woo!
But they're going back up now.
Well, they're heading back up, yeah. But it just shows you that farming has a lot of variabilities, that somebody can just say something and the price falls. Real quick.
Sometimes you got to bluff a little bit.
Sometimes it may go up, but it looks like they go down faster than they come up from what I've been looking at lately.
I had that problem a little bit myself.
Anyhow, these farm agricultural prices are subject to a lot of change, so the shooting preserve thing has been in effect since the 90s. Now, everybody has property rights. Denrec comes in and says, you know what, you can't shoot a gun within 300 feet of an occupied dwelling. Now, I've had a lot of experience with developers, a lot. and it's not all been happy. I've had people come out in the middle of my field when I'm standing out there shooting geese and tell me that I can't shoot. My property's over there. Well, I'm more than 300 feet away. You can't shoot, it might fall on me. I got, you know, hey, that's my place. I'm turning you in. I said, well, call everybody you want. But when you get up to a chicken house, you got a fox or a groundhog that's digging underneath your troughs for your recirculating cooling pads, and you want to shoot that gentleman, guess what? I'm automatically within 300 feet of somebody's property line. Now, if you begin to take my acreage that I'm going to lose because I've got to suffice, I've got to, this is an unintended consequence of development, but if you take this line, you get that little pointer, and you come down here, and then come all the way down to about here, because see, I have to stop. I didn't know that you'd get into these troubles until I didn't stand up and testify about a daycare center that's up there. They take care of little kids. Mom, dad's working hard. It's a commercial entity. You can't shoot with around that. And those front two fields, I get a lot of geese coming in there. So that's kind of an unintended consequence. Now, I'm looking at losing some income and some hunters. You can't shoot, not with 3-inch magnums and steel shot. You don't want to get nobody hurt. So I'm probably going to lose that if this is approved. Now, who's going to compensate me for that loss? I got an irrigation system that's like a windshield wiper out front here. And the head to that irrigation system is right here. And it swings all the way around and comes over here. Now, if I put ammonia in my tanks to make that corn nice and green and give it a little dose now and then, and we get a little bit of a northwest wind, all these people that bump right up against there that's got these Mercedes cars and Jaguars and well, it doesn't matter. You can go buy a new Dodge truck now. A new Dodge truck, $58,000. It's not cheap. It's serious. Well, I spray ammonia all over it. I wouldn't doubt if somebody isn't going to come over and, you John Vincent? Yeah. You just messed up my truck. I want a whole new paint job. Well, that's kind of an unintended consequence. I didn't mean to do that. By the way, I don't put any ammonia in my irrigation system because what made me aware of this, the daycare center lady came out to me and she said, you know, my kids just love standing out when that irrigation system comes up here and they like playing in the drift of it. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, if I had turned ammonia on, I'd be burning their skin. That's how you get diaper rash. We're acetophiles. My degree's in biology and chemistry, so if I use some chemistry terms, I'm not trying to talk over you. It's just that's what comes out.
You clean out those tanks, right, in those big ships?
Yes, I just come off of one. I just came off of one Saturday. It's going into the Baltic Sea. And the Baltic Sea has just enacted a whole new set of environmental regulations. And I was going to get around to Mr. Fuqua's statements. That was some presentation. Is he still back there?
He's somewhere back there.
Is he back there hiding?
Anyway.
There. Anyway, Mr.
He was sitting down there.
Oh, there he is.
He's listening.
He came out and told us, right, I'm telling you something, he made a great presentation. I was sitting there and I was thinking, how in the world did y'all ever deny this project? That man had all these reasons and legislative answers. I was taken back. I thought, boy, you guys are some rough guys. You must, you know, you're not afraid of nobody. Mr. Fuqua said, oh yeah, we'll put this development in. We're going to improve that discharge water, the groundwater center. There's going to be no nitrates, no phosphates in there. 100%. Well, the last time I testified, there was a representative here from DelDOP. And I asked him for some analysis. What's the analysis on the water runoff? As a matter of fact, I made him stand up so everybody could see him. And I said, I want to talk to you about that water analysis. Now, you made a, I think it was you, made a comment that we had three letters come in, or there were three letters. One of them was from Secretary of Agriculture, a couple other people. But you know, there was no DLDOT letter that had any analysis. No supporting analysis or any, we have tested what the runoff water is going to be. There was none. Now, Mr. Fuqua said, we're going to have 100% improvement. 100% from what?
From nothing.
From nothing? Well, what he was implying was that we're going to stop this farming operation because those farmers is polluting the soil and the water. Yep. That's what them farmers is doing. They got all kind of money where they can buy extra fertilizer. They, you can have southern states come out and pay $300, $400 a ton to put it on. We can just afford to throw it on the ground and contaminate the water.
You know where you got information from? Natural resources.
Anyway, that runoff that he's talking about there, the one thing he said, nitrates and phosphates. Isn't that what he said? Nitrogen and phosphorus will stop that? He failed to mention one thing called TOC, total organic carbon. Let's talk about that ship going to the Baltic Sea. Now on wastewater, yes, they've got phosphate levels, they've got nitrogen levels, and guess what? Carbon is right there. And on our inland passage up in Alaska, Baltic, the Baltic Sea countries saw that when our ships go up through the inland passage in Alaska, they have monitoring stations along the shore to monitor the stack exhaust for carbon and sulfur output. They're putting in the same thing. This is the first time a ship's going up there, and they're all freaking out about carbon emissions. And why is carbon important? Well, you know, if you look at removing this nitrogen and phosphorus, nitrogen affects us because it takes oxygen out of our bloodstream. A woman that takes the oxygen out of her bloodstream, and she could have a fetus that's devoid of oxygen, and the baby could be born blue. Child's going to be mentally retarded right off the get-go when you starve the oxygen from, or starve the brain from oxygen. You don't want that. But carbon's a little different. Carbon upsets your DNA. Now, isn't Delaware in the top five states that has the highest rates of cancer? Isn't it in the top five? If it's not in the top five, I think it's in the top three. Now, we're going to take, you said, you know
why they're that way? You know why they're that way? They come from New Jersey. And they come over here from New York.
Oh, it's coming down. No, I
they
think
all, they all come here. They all had cancer before they got here.
We want you to get it over, Sam. Quiet.
Anyway, this carbon, you seem to know a little bit about.
No, he doesn't. No, wait, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
No,
he doesn't.
No.
No,
no, please.
Anyway, what I was going to make a thing of, how about you go over here to soil conservation and say, hey, I'm going to get some burnt oil from the combines and the tractors, and I'm going to pour it down my road because my wife's complaining about the dust coming in.
Yeah, you used to do that, didn't they?
Yeah, what do you think they're going to tell you?
They like that, I imagine.
Oh, that. There'll be some boys coming over to see you that's carrying them shotguns and pistols and everything. You know, they're environmental police. I never knew environmental police could carry a gun or a shotgun. It amazed me. I thought, who are these guys? They were environmental cops. Next thing, the weed police will be carrying guns. But anyway, when you start putting in impervious surface, what is asphalt made of?
Oil.
Oil that's at the bottom of the barrel. It's so damn thick, you have to heat it to burn it. You got to heat it to 230 degrees so you can burn it to even get it through the nozzles. Or otherwise you'll have impingements and you'll be blowing black smoke out the top. And by the way, when those ships come in and they've had high carbon levels and they pick it up with those cameras on the spectrophotometers, a guy from the Coast Guard comes up, little guy, you know, very polite. Who's the captain of the ship? Is he captain? Oh, here's your fine, sir. Have a nice day. It's usually five figures. Now, you know, these shipping people get real excited when you start handing them fines for water and emissions. So consequently, this runoff thing that we were talking about, the total organic carbon load affects a lot of things that you don't see. We've reduced the parking area. Man, they're making that project smaller. Sounds good to me now. It's not going to be so bad. It's not going to be a big white elephant. If you got double the rainfall, which thank God we did last year, I put in mostly corn, you still get the same amount of runoff. The carbon is coming down there and it doesn't degrade. But what's worse, you see, you got to be careful how you look at pictures because people don't pay attention to what they're looking at. You see on the north side of my farm that there's this shaded kind of green area, and then all of a sudden it looks like there's water coming down here and a pond here, and then there's water coming through and then it goes out on the marsh. Look on the other side between Kenny Hopkins and I. You see a defined stream there? There is no stream. It's just a bog. It's a wetland. It's a slough. It's what filters water. It's the most beneficial thing you can get. City of San Francisco spent close to $100 million building natural soakaways so that they could run their effluent through it to try and clean it with bacteria. So consequently, there's no stream there. Now, if we got this total organic carbon, and we said if we had an 8-inch rain, we had 9 million, or a 4-inch rain, we had 9,750,000 gallons. Well, we're going to reduce that now by half, but we increased the rain, so now we got 8 inches. Had a better year.
Now, you say you grow corn, correct?
What?
You grow corn, you say. Is that correct?
I did last year. I was foolish and did that. And I made out all right, but usually you lose on that proposition.
Does corn come from corn stalks?
Only if they're burned. That's what you want. That's what you're buying in that carbon source is already charcoal. Now, when this water goes down, that carbon is going out, but it's pushing all that dirt. And it's going to cut a channel through there because if we look at that 9 million gallons, that's if they have a retention pond in that development. When we looked at the proposed new development, was there any stormwater retention runoff ponds in the commercial area? Anybody see any? No, there wasn't any. And he said, now we're putting this in now, according to this rule right here, we have to have adequate utilities. We've got the water and sewer taken care of. We just never talked about stormwater. Well, we're gonna hook in that sewer. That sewer is another issue that why they put it where they put it, we'll look at that in just a minute. But anyhow, this water's going down there, and if they had a retention pond that would hold 9 million gallons, what do you think the flow is per minute on a 24-hour day? In a 24-hour day, there's 1,440 minutes. What do you think the flow would be on that volume of water in a day's time if we let it out over a day? Got a guess?
Tell us, quick.
5,500 gallons per minute. Right. Zing. How many of you have stood alongside of a stream that's running 5,500 gallons a minute? That's where your spigot at home is putting out about a gallon a minute through a 3/4-inch line. 40 PSI. This is just going through. So it's going to take out all of those trees and all that mud, and it's going to push it out on the marsh. And if you begin to follow that property line on out, you see there's not a stream out on the marsh. There's a pond out there, but there's not a stream going to it. So it's going to cut one, and then it's going to go right on out and cut in, and it's going to find Red Mill Creek. And it's going to feed into that, and it's going to bend around the corner, and then about a mile down is Roosevelt Inlet. And what this gentleman said in this report, this newspaper article, his name's Ron MacArthur. He said,
"You gotta watch him.
He's right there, yeah."
Said he only covered one point, and it was self-serving. And I kind of looked at that and I thought, geez, I did a bad job explaining what that was because I guess nobody picked up on what the community was going to get.
Well, you're going to have out at Roosevelt Inlet this huge alluvial fan because all that dirt, there's trees, the bark, the pieces of the marsh and everything, is going to cut on out and it's going to go out there. And all the community that wants all this shopping, wants all this shopping. Well, they also are fishing during the daytime. They send the wives shopping, so they go out and fish and drink beer and tell lies. So anyhow, they're out there fishing. Well, you can't get your boat out of the inlet, and the head boats can't come in. Can't drink no beer. Somebody's going to complain. Well, can't, no sense going to Lewis. Let's go someplace where we can go fishing. So then somebody says, well, we have to take and unplug Roosevelt Inlet and get that all undone. And boy, this has really built up fast. Seems like it's accumulating a lot faster now than what it used to. Don't know why, it's just happening. Who's going to pay that bill? And let me ask you, whoever pays it, I'm not really interested in who pays it. But you got to think what that job entails. We got to bring a boat in here that's got a huge dredge on it. And then we got to run that boat with a crew. And then we got to get rid of all that salt infused mud. We're going to put salt infused mud. Can we come to your place and put it on the cornfield?
He wouldn't know the difference.
You don't want to participate in all the happy things. Everybody wants rain. Nobody wants mud.
I think you have too far to drive.
Anyhow, be that as it may, if we're thinking about what we got to do with that whole thing, is that job, that cost to repair that damage, is that in hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars or millions? What's it in? What would you think? You pay $500 to get it done? Pay $5,000.
We don't know that, don't we?
Pay $5 million, maybe you'll get it done. Now you're talking. Now who's that going to affect?
We'll buy the Bethel part.
Jim Fuqua wants to raise your taxes, y'all. Because that's how it's going to get paid. The Army Corps of Engineers is going to go to Donald Trump and say, we need more money.
I hope he doesn't run for office.
Boom. There you are. You're going to get your taxes raised. Your property tax is going to go up. And I'm a farmer. Guess what? You got a chunk of land there, fella. We're going to have to really get into your back pocket. So anyhow, the tax thing with what this is going to do to Roosevelt Inlet is going to affect the Lewis community. And they've got hotels, motels, restaurateurs, people renting boats, people doing boat mechanics, boat storage, head boats, the fishing license thing, Denrec, the University of Delaware, all of that. So my point is not just singularly about agriculture and how it's going to affect that. And Mr. Fuqua said, he said, we're going to have traffic improvement after we put this road in. We're going to make this overpass and make it improve. So I was sitting there scratching my head and I thought, gosh, another 2,500 cars a day, I have a hard enough time getting across Route 1 with the traffic that's there now, and now he's going to reduce that from, he's going to take this development and cut the shopping center size down, and that, man, there won't be 5,000 cars, it'll be just 2,500. I hope one of them small ones hits me. I mean, that's a, I just thought that was an awful lot more traffic. I don't know how it improved it. And turning on and turning off, I said, boy, that's a lot. Now, this developer thing I started to tell you all about, remember we talked about unintended consequences? Kenny back there is my neighbor. Got a wife and a pretty daughter there. God forbid anything happened to him or her. But maybe the daughter doesn't want to live back there anymore. She can't bear being around where mom and dad was and where she grew up and everything. And I don't know, do you have a husband or boyfriend yet? I don't know, but maybe she does, or she's not married or anything yet. Maybe she will have. But all of a sudden something happened to them, and she says, well, I don't want the farm to be a farm no more. I can't live back here. I've got to live closer to town, and I really don't want to be this far remote back and driving through all this meandering circle of warehouses and Motel 6s and U-Hauls and car repair places and furniture stores and houses. I'm going to sell it. Well, she's got to drive through a housing development. That housing development is going to be controlled by a HOA, as we call them in Florida, or a POA is what they call them up here, Property Owner Association. Now, they've already talked to Kenny. Kenny told me that this morning. They talked to him and they said, look, we like you. We realize you've only got 12 and a half foot and you want to continue on farming. We're going to give you a 40-foot easement. How's that sound? That's a good neighbor, ain't it? I'll tell you, that's nice. The only thing is, she can never sell it as development. That's over and done with because you got to have a 50-foot right-of-way. Now, she's got to go to a property owners association. They are now the ones, as the developer is gone, they take over the control of that area. I guess that's how it would be set up. That's how it's normally set up. As the developer's control is diminished because he sells the lots, then the homeowners take over. Well, he's got to go to her. She would have to go to them and say, look, I want a 50-foot right-of-way so that this can be developed and I can get the reality for it of what it's really worth, because as farmland, farmland's about $6,000 an acre. Well, now, here's a, what was it, 135 people have got a vote on letting her have a development to come through there, and they're saying, well, do we want all these houses back there coming through our development? Chances are they're going to say no. And you know how I know they're going to say no? I got a farm. They extinguish the right-of-way, and I have to go right down through the middle of that development to get to my land. And guess what they just told me here recently? This fight's been going on now 15 years. They said, you stop farming. By the way, I haven't been able to till that land since 2012 because their roads that they put in there, development roads don't have to meet DOT specs for an 80,000-pound vehicle. And when you hook that tractor trailer up to one trailer load of grain, you got 80,000 pounds. They said, if you don't farm anymore, we'll let you have that 50-foot right-of-way and you get over this lawsuit, quit suing us and everything. Now, that's a hell of a predicament to be put in, isn't it? Did you know I can't even let a hunter go to my property to hunt on that 30-acre property? Because the developer never had a grandfather clause with the Property Owners Association that said I had rights to let me and my assigns go to my property. So if I let a hunter go in there, somebody from the Property Owner Association calls state police and say, hey, there's some dude trespassing on our roads back here. These are private roads. And I jeopardized that guy's well-being. I didn't know that myself. This was all news to me. You mean I can't even rent my land to let a guy hunt on it? I can't till it. I'm afraid to go back there. If I damage the road, this Property Owner Association going to come, you John Vincent? Yeah. Oh, look what your big disc did when it hit that hump in the road and cut our road. Who should buy the insurance for that? They extinguished my road, never told me, and said, oh, and they could have let me go around the edge, and I wouldn't have had to disturb anybody. But just like Kennedy, they're making him come down and go right through the middle of that development. I think these developers have a school that says, hey, if we find a guy that's kind of landlocked, man, let's turn the screws on him. This is how you do it. But that's what you run into. So there's another consequence. You know, you didn't intend for this stuff to happen. You didn't. And the homeowners are nice people. They're nice people, but they have a hard time accepting the fact I might come through their driveway and mud be coming off them big dual tires and everything, slinging it all over their road. And that at 6 o'clock in the morning, a tractor trailer may come rolling out of there so that I can get to Mount Air before the major rush starts. They don't want to be woke up. I don't blame them. They spend a lot of money on those houses. But that's what you run into. So consequently with these, there are self-serving issues that I'm bringing up here. The community issue about Roosevelt Inlet is very real. And I think I offered some of you, I offered you some travel advice. When you go to Philadelphia Airport, tell the girl there at the counter that in your first class seats, I know y'all travel first class, when you get in them first class seats, sit on the left hand side so you can look out, because they're going to fly you right over Lewis on the way out if you're heading south. You'll see the alluvial fan out there. This is not a make-believe or a maybe so. But I think in some of these developments where they're entrapping a farmer, the property owners ought to have one page in their little homeowner association that says, by the way, the water quality here has a lot of total organic carbon in it, and it could affect your cells. It could affect your DNA. You could get cancer. It's known as a carcinogen. And Delaware does have a very high cancer rate. Just want to let you know, it's tax-free shopping, but you might get cancer while you're here if you drink the water. Next thing is, if you got some farmer coming through there, guess what? You're going to have dust, you're going to have noise, and you're going to have big equipment. And your road, as the engineer told me, may prematurely degrade. Really? So when you get that special assessment as a homeowner, you're going to have to pay a whole lot more. That's not a happy thing either. And then...
That's because you shouldn't sell part of your property.
These are all part of the unintended consequences that come to this when you're a neighbor. It all comes up. Now also the other thing is, if you've got a neighbor that enjoys hunting and actually makes a little money off the fact that there's so many snow geese and they need shooting, and he's got a shooting preserve, and he's going to lose that income because when you can't shoot within 300 feet, that ought to be a consideration too. So you see, all of these issues that add up when you start squeezing the farming community, these are all things that come out of it. And other than that, I think that just about, how it was. Mr. Fuquell made a real good statement about Mr. Chappell. I know Freddie, nice man.
Are you trying to keep up with him?
No, but he made a really nice statement. He said some nice things about Mr. Chappell. And Mr. Chappell was not a guy that enjoyed being in the limelight. He never sought it out. He was salt of the earth people. Said he started farming in 1950. Good. I remember when he used to walk his dairy cows across a two-lane Route 1. He'd walk them across the pasture on the other side of the road. Try doing that now. What a joke. Anyway, he said he started farming in 1950, 50 years. The town of Milton was incorporated in 1820. The Vincents started farming 1848. We've been there ever since. Now, I don't know how long it'll last after me. I got some boys, but I don't know if they're broke out with work. But still, I've kept it as a farm, and I've tried to make sure it would stay a farm by putting it in the agricultural preservation program, because I didn't want to see houses all over. I remembered how pretty it was when I could get up of a morning in the fall and look out and see them trees over there and all the fall colors, see the corn ready to pick. Pretty stuff. But we got neighbors, we got growth, and like I say, I'd hate to be in y'all's shoes. You have a lot that you've learned, and the amount of information that gets poured on you, poof. Cats, I hope they compensate you well. The other thing I was going to say is just one more thing. This is a little graph unit that they hand out, like at the soil conservation thing. It tells you about water and water conservation and groundwater, and they ask a question on the back here. And again, I wanted everybody to notice that, I got four chicken houses, and people would say, man, that guy's polluting. That's always he doesn't want anybody back there because he's putting out chicken manure and is polluting all that water out on the Great Marsh. That farm hadn't seen chicken manure since 1993. None. There's nothing on there.
Are you selling it?
Huh?
Are you selling it?
He's talking about the chicken
manure. I'm selling it now. Let them take him out. But what they asked on the question back here was, one quart of spilled oil will foul the taste and contaminate how much water? One quart.
A lot.
Okay, now it says the first answer is 1,500 gallons. The second answer is 7 gallons. The third answer is 250,000 gallons. And the fourth answer is 65,000. Now remember, we was talking about total organic carbon. the carbon impact? How much water does that oil with that carbon, how much water do you think it affects?
Number three.
Thousands.
Number three.
That's a smart man right there. Contaminates 250,000 gallons. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's a good note to end on, telling them how smart I am.
Mr. Witzel, was there anyone else with your group that was planning to speak?
God, we hope not.
Okay, at this point, we will open this to the public. I will appoint, I see some people that are...
We have a sign-in sheet in the...
Okay, we do have a sign-in sheet. I will again point out that, number one, everything that was said at the last hearing is in the record. We actually have a transcript of that. And if...
No.
Leave
it back there.
Just sign in.
Hey, Matt, you got it.
Who's coming up next?
It doesn't matter. Just get up there. Get up. It doesn't matter. Come on.
Sign in.
You're coming up.
Yes.
Somebody come up.
Okay. I want to remind you that if you, as we said in our rules of procedure when we read early on, if there's something, please do not keep repeating points that have already been stated. We understand that a lot of people want to speak. It's okay to say ditto, or I agree with the things that Mr. Witzel had said or some of the other speakers had said, instead of just keep repeating same points. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Good to see you all again. My name is John Bucchioni. I live in Painter's Mill, representing as a private citizen. My wife lives